Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Jen Radloff, and I'm the Events and Entertainment Director.
We are at Badger State Brewing in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Which is kind of the mothership of beers, isn't it?
I mean,
one of them, yeah.
I don't know that it's written in stone, but yes, from my viewpoint, absolutely.
A little biased, but yeah. But default.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to us about the backstory, how it started and its evolution.
Well, first off, it's crazy to see where we've come. So we are just about to our 9-year anniversary this month. We'll be 9 years old. But this was a brainchild of three guys, all friends, Andrew Fabre, Michael Servi, and Sam Yonda. Sam and Michael are cousins. Sam was the oldest and wasn't fully sure where he wanted to go in life. And they started noticing just that booming craft beer buzz around the state.
Were they home brewers growing up?
Yeah, so Sam actually started as a home brewer out of his garage, and then his younger cousin Michael kind of took notice. From there, it just became their regular go-to when Michael was home from school. Mm-hmm. And then through that process, when Michael was away at school, he met Andrew, and through their budding friendship, as a token of friendship on Christmas, Andrew actually got Michael a homebrew kit, one of those ones where it's like a specific style that you can brew. And Michael's like, yeah, why don't you come back, hang out with my cousin and I, and we'll start brewing. And the rest was kind of history.
That's a big history work.
Right?
From a garage floor.
Yeah. And then trying their hand at a bunch of local and statewide competitions and perfecting kind of our three basic recipes. And going from that to where we are today is pretty amazing.
So your lexicon, your array of beers has exploded over the years.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's still some iconic brews that will never go away, and people always immediately think of you guys when they think of that beer. What would that be?
Yeah, so our flagships, some of the originals that are still around today would be our Walloon Witbier, which is our Belgian wheat. We have our Green Chop, which is our Session IPA. One of the other original ones was our Bunyan Badger Brown Ale. That's kind of the three that they started with. And from there, it's morphed into, we're now known for our Brewski, our light lager that's crushable. It's not your average domestic beer. We're known for our hazy IPAs, so our Grassy Place, Seriously Cloudy, and now even more so, our Stateside Hard Seltzer line and our Tiki Tom slushy line.
Oh, cool. Do you actually make a slushy out of it in the summer?
We have done that before, where we've rented a slushy machine and frozen it, and it's delicious.
It'd be a great summer drink, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Get in trouble.
Yeah, a little bit. Those ABVs will get you after a while.
Yeah. Okay, so Badger State Brewing, does it distribute across the state of Wisconsin? Does it go beyond the borders?
We don't go beyond the borders. Our
goal, a future maybe?
I'm not sure. Mm. I think for the longest time, the goal was to make beer that brings people to Wisconsin. Mm. And so I'm pretty sure that they're kind of standing strong on that as long as we can. I can't say that if something comes up, they won't say no to it. But
right.
As far as distribution, we just recently expanded distribution. So we are now in the Milwaukee and Madison area, and we're slowly working on getting to, you know, all corners of the state.
But right now, as we're sitting here, we can look outside and see the mothership.
I know,
the green,
Lambeau.
Yeah. So being within walking distance, literally across the street, I imagine this place goes psycho viral sometimes with people right on game day.
Yeah, game day weekends are crazy. I mean, right outside my office view is Lambeau. And you take it for granted when you see it every day. But then when you're here on a game day, the vibe and the frequency is just so different. You just can't help but want to join in the fun. And it's a party.
It's a sellout, isn't it? It's
it
probably
is.
Standing room only.
Yeah. We bring in live DJ all season long for home games, food trucks, and not to mention all of our delicious beer.
And you have a fairly large indoor spaces, but outside, I bet in the nice days, it goes crazy outside, too.
Oh, yeah. Even when it's freezing, if it's a Packer home game, they're outside, too. Yeah. So you can't stop the fans.
They don't know any better.
They're numb at that point. They're like, we can't feel our toes. Let's have another beer.
The philosophy of brewing. You're not about additives. You're about being very much a purist in your ingredients. Talk to us about that philosophy.
We try to use as many all-natural ingredients and additives. We're not trying to add artificial flavors. We want to use as many locally sourced ingredients, you know, to keep our footprint small and be responsible about what we're producing. And we want the beer to taste good and stand out, you know.
And even sourcing your grains and hops and whatnot.
Absolutely. As much locally sourced as we can. Yeah. Obviously, with hops, we have to kind of find some good stuff outside, especially like our New Zealand hops, or if we're looking just around the country, we've pulled in from a lot of different areas.
That's really cool. So again, tell us about right now some of your the hottest, like right now we're sipping a new beer.
So you got to taste one of our surprise beers. It is part of our Tiki Tom series. So the Tiki Tom series is creating beers fruit forward, all based on traditional tiki cocktails, because who doesn't love sitting in a tiki lounge and having a fruity drink and thinking they're on a beach somewhere when it's -8 in Wisconsin for half the year? So right now you're enjoying our new Mango Mai Tai. It'll be available in the tap room for distribution around the state and in 4-packs to go.
I just can visualize some way, figuring out a way to distribute in Waikiki. Literally.
That would be the dream. I will travel. I will be the delivery person. Yeah. You know, just suitcases full of it. Just keep me there for a while.
But just think about it. I mean, what a perfect aloha drink.
Right? Yeah. And a lot of people associate certain styles of beers with certain times of year, but we're trying to kind of escape that mold. You can have a dark beer in the summer. You can have a fruity beer all year round because everybody's palates are different. Yeah. So
the other thing, literally one of the four fruit groups, this is almost a meal.
Right? You're getting your fruits, no vegetables, but we can pretend, right? Mm-hmm. And you're getting water.
But no, literally, it's almost like a lunch, a liquid lunch. It's crazy cool.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a nice, quick grab and go, but be safe, right?
Yeah. So again, in my mind, the mental temptation is for you guys to go viral and go nationwide. And yet, there's that risk of entropy or whatever, where you've got such a good thing going, just staying within the state.
Yeah, it's the amount of unique individuals and people from places that we would never expect. Like we've had every year for one home game, we get a group of Japanese tourists that come and we give them a tour, and they literally, it's about 25 businessmen, and they come every year for us. And we've had people from the Netherlands and you name it. It never gets old sitting in the tap room, and at least once a day we get somebody that is traveling and has never heard of us.
So
and
how cool. So you're kind of turning the world around where the world comes to you,
right? One beer at a time.
I love it. Jennifer, we could go on and on, but I know somebody's waiting to take me away. How cool. So to learn more about your world, where social media, where where would you direct somebody?
You can find us at Badger State Brewing on Facebook and Instagram, and you can also find us at badgerstatebrewing.com. And my name is Jen Radloff, and I'm the Events and Entertainment Director.
Awesome, Jennifer. Thank you so much. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the mothership, Badger State Brewing in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
We're at Anapi Brewery. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm the owner and brewer. We're in Suamico, Wisconsin. We also have a location in Algoma, Wisconsin.
Tell us the background.
So I started nice and young, ripe age of 16. I was able to buy home brewing equipment, home brewing ingredients. And it's more about the process of making than actually making alcohol. But started nice and young.
We never blew anything up.
Never blew anything up. I had a carboy explode, quote unquote. The top blew off, and there's beer literally everywhere, and needed to have a mop, but nothing exploding with fire, so that's a good thing.
So eventually that became your career, right? This is what you do for a living.
It did, yeah. Oddly enough, after the evolution of our business now, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary. We used to brew every drop of beer that we used to brew, and now we have a great team here, which is awesome, and they do all of the brewing. I end up doing the fun stuff like HR and accounting.
Distribution, too?
Yeah, and distribution. Yeah, you get some headaches with that, but that's also the fun part. You get to go out and talk to people, bar owners and restaurants, and just sit at the grocery store sometimes and sample beer to people that don't know that you're the owner and tell you the real, what they really think.
It seems, looking in from the outside, that you're in a sweet spot where if you got much bigger, you'd have to add in all this infrastructure, distributors and whatnot.
Yeah, that's 100% true. We're at around 2,000 barrels right now. That covers northeast Wisconsin, and that's a very small part of Wisconsin. We're in probably 15 counties, and there's probably 50 counties in Wisconsin. Don't quote me on that number, but we haven't really even scratched the surface of Milwaukee or Madison, and those are the bigger hubs, you know, obviously in the area. So
again, it's a game changer if you do.
Yeah, we'd have to get bigger pumps. We'd have to get more tanks. We'd have to have more sales staff driving more. So now you need cars and insurance and all that stuff. So costs add up quick.
So maybe you're beating the system.
Right? There's something to be said about local. Like, you know, we're from Green Bay. We root for the Packers, right? But you get a little bit farther away, you maybe don't root for the Packers anymore. And here in Green Bay, we have a great presence. It's awesome. And Greater Green Bay, we also do too. But the farther away you get from your home base, the less they know about you and the more you have to train, you know?
Being local, there are probably a lot of people that come right here to drink in person, right? Come to the source.
Yeah, they do come to the source, and I tell you what, you know, whether it's water or beer, it's best at the source. You're going to have the freshest beer here, and nothing against anybody else anywhere else, but you're getting it right from here. It never got warm. It never got on a truck to be able to be driven over to a distributor, sat in our cooler, and it's ready to be able to be drank, so nice and fresh.
That's really cool. Talk to us about some of your flavor profiles, like fungi.
Yeah, fungi, F-U-Y space G-U-Y, fungi. It's our mushroom brown ale, and it's an English brown ale. We brew it with mushrooms, a blend of a bunch of different mushrooms, but it also includes in that blend morels, porcinis, oysters, lobster, not the real lobster, but the lobster mushrooms, and it gives us a nice umami. It's actually not mushroom soup. It's English brown, so it's going to be nice and drinkable, 5% beer, but it's got that nice earthiness and umami that comes along with it. So,
did you make that up on your own, or the other brewers doing the same thing?
I don't know a whole lot of other brewers doing the same thing. Now there's a lot of brewers out there, so there might be somebody that has picked up on it. But when we started doing it, we were definitely the first around here that I know of. We used to go out and forage for mushrooms, and that's where the idea came along, and we ended up adding at that point into a 100-gallon batch, which we're a little beyond that now, but foraged mushrooms, morels included in that batch as well, and it turned out great.
So are you creating an obsessive, compulsive following, people that just absolutely love it?
There is. I would say it's a love-hate. There's people that don't like mushrooms, however. They're like, I hate mushrooms, and they really love the beer. I think there's something about the mushrooms. If you cooked them in butter, they're going to taste buttery. You know, you put them on a pizza, it's going to enhance that pizza. Mushrooms kind of take on what the flavor they put in, and that's the great thing about the beer is it's not, like I said, mushroom soup. It's not super mushroomy. It just has that nice umami and nice earthiness.
That's really cool. Talk to us about your Door County cherries.
Yeah, so we have two beers that we do cherry or cherry-like things to. We have our Cherry Mechanic, which is our gluten-free beer. It's year-round, very popular. You can get bottles and draft and stuff like that. We use Door County cherries for that. Nice, refreshing, and light. And because it's not brewed with barley, it's brewed with sorghum, tapioca. It's a little more cider-like almost, so very, very refreshing. We also have Cherry Wood, which is a Baltic porter, aged on Door County cherry wood. I hand toast that wood in my oven at home. We harvested the wood in 2016, so it's been seasoned outside and inside.
You do chips in a barrel, or how do you do that, the cherry wood?
Yeah, so the cherry wood, we cut down our cherry tree into logs, and now we cut here in-house down to smaller pieces that fit inside of the fermenter, and we allow it to sit inside the fermenter and maturate there. So you get a really nice, expressive, cherry wood flavor. Like I said, we toast it in-house, which gives it a little bit more complexity and more character as well. So
one more Jack Daniels.
Yeah, Jack Daniels. We use those barrels in a lot of different beers that we barrel age. We find that they have a nice character to them. We also use other barrels, but the Jack Daniels barrels are ones we use for our two-stall squared, which is our Imperial Chocolate Milk Stout. We barrel age that. And right now we have a Imperial Ale. It's kind of like a red ale that's Imperial. It's about 11%, and it was aged in Jack Daniels barrels for over a year and a half. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, it gets tons and tons of oak flavor, but it also gets that little bit of whiskey burn, and then it mellows everything out because it's been aged for such a long time.
Okay, to learn more about your world.
Yeah, so we're at AnapeeBrewery.com. We have two locations within that Anapee Brewery. You can search either one. 16 beers on taps. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm the owner and brewer.
And where are you physically located? I see like a highway, a freeway right over there.
Yeah, that's part of the best part of the Suamico location. We're literally directly off of Highway 41, which is a main artery, all the way through the country. It actually goes down to Florida. But we're just north of Green Bay, literally seconds north of Green Bay, and 30 seconds off the highway.
Awesome. Nick, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
David Malcolm, Zimbaldi Beer.
We are in the tap room at Zimbaldi Beer in Alloway, Wisconsin.
Right across the border from Green Bay, right?
Yep, we are a Green Bay suburb.
About a block away.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about your story and why and how you became a brewer.
So I started homebrewing back in about 2001 when I was still in the Army with some buddies, and I just fell in love with the process. I dove deep into the science and all the technicalities. Eventually, as an avid home brewer, I got a job in a professional brewery in 06. I worked at several breweries over the years, and eventually my wife, Abigail, and I decided we need to start our own place.
You created a whole empire here. This is pretty cool.
Thanks very much. It's a big space, and we wanted to create a community gathering place for our neighborhood. So we have a lot of seating in our tap room. We have a big patio out front, and we welcome everybody to come in and have a beer and hang out.
You've had kind of a restart. I mean, you opened and COVID hit.
Yeah, we opened 6 weeks before the COVID shutdown, which was a challenge that we hadn't anticipated in our business plan. But, you know, we used that overused word pivot, and we pivoted and figured it out. And thankfully, the lights are still on and the beer is still flowing.
Were there some lessons learned?
There were. It really pushed us to do a lot more outreach to our fans and figure out more ways to connect with people, better ways to get our message out and get people through the doors and drinking our beer.
Your stable of beers and what you're most proud of.
So I tend to land on more traditional styles and more drinkable styles. So our beers tend to be in that 4-6% ABV range, mostly focusing on traditional styles, but I like to play too and do fun things. I always land on our Good Dog Porter, which is our English style porter named after our boxer mix whose name is Porter.
And you have a real lexicon of fun flavor profiles.
Yeah, we keep a fruited sour on all the time. So right now we have a pink guava passion fruit sour. We have a maple brown ale right now that's a lot of fun with maple syrup from up in northern Wisconsin. We've got an oak-aged old ale in the works. We've done a strong Scottish ale with chipotle chilies. I've done a bratwurst beer. Kind of the sky's the limit.
Coming into the winter time, you're going to probably have some great winter treat.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of churning our selection over to those winter beers, so we're getting darker, we're getting a little bigger, which are the beers that I love. I'm especially excited to brew a Dunkelweizen that's coming pretty soon, which is a dark German wheat beer.
And distribution, does most people come to the source, or are you in grocery stores and liquor store?
Yeah, we are in distribution in our part of the state, Northeast Wisconsin. Most people like to come to our tap room, but you can find us in this corner of the state as well.
To learn more about your world, David, website, social media.
Our website is Zimbaldi.com, which has a lot of basic info. But to find the most up-to-date info on our events and our beers, our Facebook page at Zimbaldi Beer is really the best place. And you can follow us on Instagram at Zimbaldi Beer also.
Excellent. David Malcolm, Zimbaldi Beer, Wisconsin. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks so much for coming by.
Here we are, Green Bay, Wisconsin, at the Booyah, right?
The Booyah Shed. Dan Nitka.
Tell us what it is.
Booyah is what we call chicken soup on steroids. Mm-hmm. Slow cooked, big cast iron kettle, batch you had today had 16 hours on it. We slow cook the chickens, debone them, cut the vegetables fresh as much as possible, and try to kind of keep it old school.
Derivation of the roots of the name.
Oh, the name derives from the French word bouillon. It goes way back to the 1800s here. So one of the stories is the reporter didn't know how to spell the word, so the word bouillon came out of it. There's a few other stories how maybe it came about, but that's the one that most people go with. That's how the word basically came about.
This has to be one of the most niche local food things in America.
It is. You can't get much more local than this. We are definitely one of a kind. I mean, everybody in town makes it, but a lot of them just buy cold chicken cut up already and put it on a stove on a stainless kettle or something.
If you went 60 miles down the road, they might not know what you're talking about. Right?
20 miles down the road, they don't know what we're talking about most of the time.
And yet, like we talked about earlier, I went to a minor league baseball game here, and they were named the Bouillons.
Yep,
right?
They actually were coming in here quite a bit when we first opened up and couldn't figure out why. And then we did their Bouillon giveaway, 90 gallons, they gave away our big kettle. And then, but they had their own guy making his Bouillon, so everybody makes their own version. There's no right or wrong way to make it.
Is it on the cusp of going viral? And I mean, you probably have these food shows and whatnot that come here.
We just
right?
did get approached from Food Network for a thing in the Buffalo Bills game, but it never developed because we do a lot of tailgating with our mobile unit at the local brewery here. We set up there for like 7 years now. We have a following where people come, but they come for the brats and the burgers and a little bit of the bouillon. But a lot of people come to town. They first stop to here is get their bouillon when they come into town visiting.
Take out here or is it all?
Oh yeah, takeout is a huge part of our business. So
it almost has to be because what? Yes. 16
capacity, plus when it's nice, we have the tables outside. So, yeah. And we definitely take out as a huge part of our business. So. Mm-hmm.
And talk to us about, for example, you just had a whole large table of U.S. Army active duty troops.
We do. Any active military, police, fire, EMTs get free cups and bowls all the time. Mm-hmm. Veterans get free bowls of bouillon. And we just appreciate the service. I mean,
so you have a kid that's...
My son's a state trooper.
Okay.
Just became last year. He's a silent partner in this, actually. Mm-hmm. He's a co-owner of this. And so we pretty much, from day one, we've been doing this for 10 years now. We've always fed the police at the farmer's markets and stuff. And now we have a lot of officers. You look at pictures up here. There's officers on the wall. There's military on the wall. People from all over the world have come in here. So
that's
kind of neat.
And again, kind of describe the process of what it is and how you make it, and
So like last night, we threw about 35 pounds of whole chickens in a kettle, some soup bones in there. That cooked all night long. I came in this morning, I pulled the chicken out, worked the marrow out of the bones, worked that all back in the kettle, deboned the chicken, then we cooked down cabbage, celery, onions for about 2 hours, pretty hard boil. Mm-hmm. Then throw everything else back in there. There's green bean and wax beans, because we have to have green and gold for the Packers. Then the peas and then I think, and the chicken goes back in there at that point.
So it really is old country cuisine, isn't it?
We're trying to, you know, as much as we can with, you know, trying to also keep it as a business, you know. Mm-hmm. End of the day, we have to keep the doors open too, so. But we definitely put the time in making it.
In any visions of location number two or growing?
We talked about it originally, and right now we're like, nope, because we do some mobile events and stuff. We've actually cut back on that even. Mm-hmm. I can barely keep up with this.
Right.
I mean, I went through over 7,100 pounds of chicken last year, so that's a lot of chicken to pull.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. So to learn more about your world, you guys have a website?
I go to Facebook.
Okay.
And there's a link on there to the Belgian Historical Center did a video this year, and we had a couple clips in there on the history of bouillon, and they did a really good job on it. And they've got different people from churches, from out here. Mm-hmm. They're people that make their own and stuff, so we definitely give you a good understanding of the history of it. Mm-hmm. Everybody, it's kind of neat listening to the story. So
people come to Green Bay to seek you out, probably the myth, legend, and lore, right? You talked about people from...
Yeah, people come from like out of town or like a little drive. Their time they come into town, this is their stop, you know. We have way more than bouillon, too. That's what people don't realize. They come in and it's like, we have a full menu. Yeah, we have Friday fish. We do put our own twist on almost everything we make. So all homemade.
And to learn more, again, one more time.
Facebook is go-to. Link for the YouTube video on the history of bouillon from the Belgian Historical Center.
And the name of the Facebook?
The Bouillon Shed.
There you go. Deal direct.
Yep.
And your name?
Dan Nitka.
Dan, thank you so much. This has been great.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station.
I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the Foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Why don't you go where Harlem sits? Pour another rip. Spangled gowns upon a bevy of high brown from down the levee, all misfits putting on the rip. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening with her swell bow rubbing elbows. Come with me and we'll attend there.